A reading of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles and said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said,
Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
And he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me.
And likewise the cup, after that they had eaten, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.
And they began to debate among themselves who among them would do such a deed. Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them,
The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you, it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as their servant. For who is greater, the one seated at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sit all of you like wheat. But I have prayed that your own faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers.
He said to them,
Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you.
But he replied,
I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny three times that you know me.
He said to them,
When I send you forth without a money bag or a sack or sandals, were you in need of anything?
No, nothing.
They replied, and he said to them,
But now one who has money bag should take it, and likewise a sack, and one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed, what it written about me is coming to fulfillment.
Then they said,
Lord, look, there are two swords here.
But he replied,
It is enough.
Then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them,
Pray that you may not undergo that test.
After withdrawing about the stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still not my will, but yours be done.
And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. And he was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. And he said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test."
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front of them of the 12, a man named Judas. And he went up to Jesus and kissed him. Jesus said to him,
"Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with your kiss?"
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked him,
"Lord, shall we strike you with a sword?"
But none of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
"Stop, no more of this."
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed it. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out as against your robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness."
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following in the distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said,
"This man too was with him."
But he denied it, saying,
"Woman, I do not know him."
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
"You too are one of them."
But Peter answered, and about an hour later, still another insisted,
"Assuredly, this man too was with him, for he also is a Galilean."
But Peter said,
"My friend, I do not know what you are talking about."
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who had held Jesus in custody were ridiculing him, beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying,
"Prophesy, who is it that struck you?"
And they rivaled him and saying by many other things against him. And when the day came, the council of the elders of the people met, and both the chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before the Sanhedrin, and they said,
"If you are the Christ, tell us."
But he replied to them,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
And they all asked,
"Are you then the Son of God?"
And he replied to them,
"You say that I am."
And they said,
"What further need have we for testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth."
Then the whole assembly and those who rose and brought him before Pilate, and they brought charges against him, saying,
"We found this man misleading our people. He opposes
And Peter asked him, Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
And he said to him in reply,
"You say so."
Pilate then answered the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find this man not guilty."
But they were adamant and said,
"He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began even to hear."
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean, and upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at the time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. And the chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in a resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers of the people, and said to them,
"You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
But all together they shouted out,
"Away with this man! Release Barabbas to him!"
Now Barabbas was imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus. But they continued their shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate addressed them a third time,
"What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. And the verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he was released, the man who they had imprisoned for the rebellion and the murder, and for whom they had asked for, and handed Jesus over them to deal with them as they wished. As they led him away, they took him off to a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, and after laying the cross on him, made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. And Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed, the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breast that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
They divided his garments by casting lots. People stood by and watched. And the rulers, meanwhile, sneered at them and said,
"He saved others. Let him save himself. He is the chosen one, the Christ of God."
Even the soldiers jeered at him as they approached to offer him wine, and they called out,
"If you are king of the Jews, save yourself."
Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the king of the Jews." No one of the criminal hanging there reviled Jesus, saying,
"Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us."
The others, however, rebuked him, saying in reply,
"Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we have received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal."
Then he said,
"Remember
And Jesus replied to him,
Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
It was about noon, and the darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, because of an eclipse of the sun. And then the veil in the temple was torn down in the middle, and Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
Father, into your hands I command my spirit.
And when he said this, he breathed his last. Please kneel. The centurion who witnessed that happened to be glorified God and said,
This man was innocent beyond doubt.
When all the people who had gathered for the spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all of his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, who had saw all the events. Now there were virtuous and righteous men named Joseph, who thought he was a member of the council, who, though he was a member of the council, had not yet consented to their plan of action. So he came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and after he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in linen cloth and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had been buried. And it was a day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. And the women who came from Galilee with him followed behind. And when they had seen the tomb on the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. And then they rested on the Sabbath, according to the commandment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Good evening. God is good. So it's Palm Sunday today. It's the day that we come to church and get freebies, right? We get these little palms that kind of commemorate the day, and we get to fidget with them and play with them and make little crosses, right? Probably ignore the homilist, while we're doing all that. Sure. It's a curious thing, though, about today's gospel. What's curious about it is the way it's told rather than the gospel itself. Notice we had three people narrating it, and one of them wasn't even clergy. He represented the crowd. And if you were following along in your missals, you saw it said crowd. Who's the crowd? Are you not the crowd? Yes, you are the crowd. And so, they were. What part did the crowd have? Did the crowd have a good part? No, they didn't. No, they were yelling, Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. You're not a king. The only king we have is Caesar. They weren't pleasant jeers from the crowd. And yet we are the crowd. Reading of the Passion is a moving experience. It's an opportunity to walk the path that Jesus walked during this terrible time in his life, when he was convicted wrongly of no crime at all and sentenced to death, an execution that was probably the most heinous way to kill a person known to man. Just an example of man's inhumanity to man. And what was our role in this? Were we yelling, crucify him? Or were we helping him each time he fell? Were we yelling, Barabbas? Or were we helping him carry the cross? Were we mocking him and calling him King of the Jews? Or were we wiping his bloody, sweaty face with our garments? Or were we yelling, we have no king but Caesar? Or were we comforting his mother when she wept at the foot of his cross. What part did we play? Well, you know, this path is similar to the path that we've taken this past 40 days. This past 40 days of Lent started Ash Wednesday. And we had great intentions on Ash Wednesday. We were going to give up candy or give up the internet or give up this or that, you know. And what were our intentions? You know, there's an old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Were we on the road to heaven or were we on the road to hell? It's hard to say. 4 days later, on the first Sunday of Lent, we have a gospel that tells of Jesus fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's being tempted by the devil. And he's been given all these temptations by the devil, including he could have rule over the whole world. But Jesus said there's no ruler but the Father and denied them all. On that fourth day, how good were we in keeping our intentions? Did we give up that candy? Are we back on the internet? Did we do what we said we were going to do? I don't know. It's kind of in your soul and in your heart. And then, the next Sunday, Jesus was transfigured. He went from a normal person and brought his disciples up to the mountain and suddenly was transfigured. White as snow. Sounds like a detergent commercial. That transfiguration was a sign for us. Did we transfigure ourselves? Did we turn ourselves into people of God instead of people of the devil? What did we do? Did we learn from that? And then the next Sunday, the third Sunday, we see Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And he knows all her sins. And he knows her entire history. And he tells her, he says, your sins are forgiven. Go forth and sin no more. And she runs and tells her community of this man who forgave her all his sins. And what if we were that woman? And what if Jesus saw us at that well and he forgave all our sins? And would we go and sin no more? And then on the fourth week after that, we see Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Very interesting lesson. Lazarus is the focal point of the story because he's raised from the dead. But the real story is Martha and Mary and how they challenged Jesus and how they lost trust in Jesus, saying to him, if you had only been there, our brother would have not died. Twice they said that to him. Lack of patience. Did we learn that lesson of patience? That God's time is not our time? Our time and God's time are not alike. They're not the same. And patience is one of the hardest virtues for us to exercise. I know. Often. And today we celebrate the passion of Jesus and we follow this path. This path, this journey that we're on together. All of us are on this journey together. And we follow Jesus' journey through his life. And we follow his journey through his death and ultimately through his resurrection on Easter Sunday. But we don't come here to hear a story of horror and sadness. What we really need to take from here is hope. Because Jesus told Martha and Mary last week, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me and dies will live. Anyone who follows me will never die. This is the story of hope that we have to take with us as we leave today. That hope in the resurrection, that hope that Jesus' death was for that reason, that we will live forever in heaven if we just do a few little things. Just follow his two commandments. They're easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And probably the harder one, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Love and hope. And that's what you need to take home with you today. God is good.